You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. AJ's too busy talking about Love is Blind, which in a way is the trade deadline like Love is Blind a little bit.
I think GMs should have to talk to other GMs in the pods without being able to look at cap numbers, just assets.
Do they tell each other that they look exactly like the trade pieces that they're trying to move?
Yeah.
Yeah. The player I'm about to sell you on resembles Valnichushkin.
Yeah. Or if this player were a model or an actress, it would be the Megan Fox of players.
We're not going to be talking about the Megan Fox of players on today's show. We're going to be talking about some of the targets that maybe don't make as much sense, at least as far as Colorado is concerned. I guess, yeah, in the middle segment, you might have Megan Fox of players on your list. I don't know.
I would like to believe that I do.
Okay, fair enough. But you guys don't know this yet, but starting tonight, we're going to start releasing all of our trade target videos for the Colorado Avalanche. And before we do that, this pod is going to be about some of the guys that didn't make our list. Some of the guys that we maybe aren't quite as convinced make a ton of sense for the Colorado Avalanche, or have some caveats to why the Avs would be targeting them.
Yeah.
You know, anything is possible at a trade deadline. I'm sure Eric can espouse on that a little bit. But the Avs have the pretty obvious needs at this deadline, that being very obviously a 2C, very obviously a backup goalie, and then you have a 4C, and then you have maybe an additional defenseman after that.
Every contender loves to add a depth D.
They sure do. Do we want to start there, then? Do you want to start with a conversation that
Noah Hanifin?
I was going to say Chris Tanev, but same thing. It's the same conversation with both of them.
Don't take away Chris Tanev from me. It's not a big dream, but it's still a dream.
The defensive conversation in general, though. I think there's two paths here. When you're talking about a caliber of a defenseman that is a Chris Tanev, that is a Noah Hanifin. One, in Hanifin's case, does fit make sense? And then the second part of this is, should the Avs even be looking at that caliber of defenseman unless a Bowen Byram move is on the horizon?
Sorry, I was looking up Noah Hanifin's.
How does
contract.
The couch feel?
Interesting. They're comparable, Tanev's and Hanifin. It's a lot of money. Like,
it is a lot of money.
I don't know that I'm prepared to ship out a Byram for another defenseman. I think the return needs to be 2C.
This is more what I meant. Like, if you find a way to move Byram for a 2C, are you trying to do
fill
a,
it?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I still feel like that could be a little rich for their blood. It would be an ideal candidate in a Tanev or a Hanifin. A Tanev would satisfy a couple things, but is a very different player from Byram.
Yep.
I just don't know that it would be feasible.
I think that is the most reasonable answer on why this is not going to happen.
Well, they're not going to trade Bo Byram. It's not going to happen.
We're talking about by next week. It's not going to happen. Is it ever going to happen? I don't know. But if you're talking about trying to go find a second line center, which it's not hard to figure out what's left. There's not much left. We're talking about UFA assets. If you're making a hockey trade, then yeah, sure. There's different kinds of guys available out there. But if you're not going to go and find something because the market doesn't give you much, you can shift your focus. And I'm sure they have. They've had their list on finding a centerman for a long time. They've had their list on finding a backup goaltender for a long time. They've had their list on adding a defenseman. For all the reasons we all saw when Bo Byron, when Cale Makar went down, Bo Byron had a hard time. When Sammy G wasn't there, Bo Byron had a hard time. So somewhere, somehow, you're one injury away from maybe having that. And I like Bo, I'm saying, and he's been there. He's won a cup with the team. But if you're talking about guys like Tanev, or maybe you shift your focus to adding a defenseman that plays 25 minutes a night. Then you have Tanev and Hanifin are totally different players. One's a lefty, one's a righty. One's a puck-moving guy, one's a shutdown guy, one's a PK guy, one's the other guy can play on a second PP. I don't know. Maybe they're going to turn their we don't know what – were they on the Elias Lindholm race? Were they on the Sean Monahan race? Whatever it was. We don't know. We'll never know. But right now we all know that what's left is a little thin. You know what I mean? Like on choices, but maybe they'll shift their choices. But I agree. I mean, that's which name are we talking about first of all? For
it was both Tanev.
Yeah,
it was both. Yeah. Sorry. So yeah. Tanev and the only reason you're going after them is if you shift your focus that we can't get ourselves stronger up the middle, then we're going to get ourselves stronger in the back end, and especially if somebody goes down with an injury.
Sorry, I just that's the only way you my do microphone. It. Eric, I'm curious. You worked for the Flames for a long time.
Yep.
Chris Tanev, is my love of him justified as a guy that you would absolutely want in a playoff series?
Love him. Every team loves him. Every team would take him right now. It's a guy that will do everything. He's a team first mentality guy. He's a guy that's nothing was ever given to him. He works hard. He's not afraid to put his body on the line. Has he aged a little bit? Yeah, he has. You know, just like everybody else, it's called, you know, getting older. there's a reason why you love him. You know, because he's lovable. Like no, it's true. Like he's what you want in a hockey player. He's what you want in a dressing room, and he's what you want to go to war with. And I hate using that word, going to war with, but playoffs are tough, and playoffs are, it's a different animal. And there's no metrics out there that will tell you if a guy has balls, like we talked about yesterday, or not. There's no metrics out there. It's you have it or you don't. This guy has it, so your love affair with him is justified.
Do you think that Tanev, just theoretically speaking here, I'm really not expecting it to happen, which is why he's
going
to
be a lot of theoreticals in this pod.
Yeah, but Tanev, could he play kind of that Avalanche style of hockey? We've seen Josh Manson adapt to it really nicely. Do you think Tanev has some of that hidden puck skill that we've seen emerge with Josh Manson on Josh Manson's best days?
It might have been there years ago, but it certainly wouldn't be there now. Like you wouldn't see that. It's a meat and potato. And it's basically you're using them because you want to bolster your defensive abilities and PK and, you know. But, yeah, no, very limited puck skills. Like, let's not kid ourselves. You know, that's not what he's there for. But, you know, he can make a first pass and, you know, be good that way. But I wouldn't be the guy jumping up on the play and – and I think Manson, I mean, if you go back to it, I go back to Manson like 6-7 years ago. I thought he was going to develop into he almost got 40 points one year in Anaheim, or he did get 40 points. He's pretty close to it, or he got almost 50. He's one of the two. And you could tell, like, you know what, this guy might become one of those guys that he has it in him. Unlike his dad was a pure meat and potato guy, but he has it in him, and then you can see it now. Even though he's playing a different role, you can see him why he likes jump in the play like Bednar and Pratt like to have their D's jump in. But I think Tanner is a little less agile, you know, to be able to do that.
The idea of a defense with Josh Manson, Jack Johnson, and Chris Tanev on it going into the postseason, do you start to worry that maybe you have gotten away from who you are with that kind of defense? With three of those guys on your defense in game one?
You said Johnson, Tanev.
And Manson.
Yeah, I don't think you would have all three playing. You know what I mean? So,
so in this world, we've not only traded Bowen Byram, we've not only traded for Chris Tanev, but also now there's a need to replace Jack Johnson as well.
You just drop Malinsky in there, though,
or
right?
Do you just play Caleb Jones, one of those two? Is that the easier solution?
Yeah, I would just put, if Tanev takes Jack Johnson's spot as far as role is concerned, and you play Malinsky, that's what, in Byram's spot, that's what I would do.
The concern then is that one of those guys is now playing on his offside, and we don't know what that's going to look like, and they've never played together. And
that's a lot more righties than they've ever seen.
Yeah, right.
But it isn't something I'm going to overthink, because the reality of the situation is a defenseman of the caliber of a Tanev is hard to fit for Colorado, because if they're going out and doing that, they're just not going to be able to fill their other holes in their lineup, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to revisit this in the offseason and Tanev wants to sign for cheap or something stupid, sure. But when it comes to the trade deadline, I don't see the Avs making a move for that caliber of a defenseman. And even if they did, it would be the last thing they do on deadline day. It would be like, well, we explored all our other options. We have this amount left over. Let's go get a defenseman.
We're also talking about Chris Tanev. The price for him is going to be pretty hefty. And we're talking about him on Colorado's third pairing.
Right.
Best situation here, assuming no injuries, is that he's on Colorado's third pairing. And then maybe on a game where Josh Manson's having one of those bad nights, you move Tanev up a little bit.
Yeah.
But as Eric just mentioned, you would have some concerns about, is he going to be able to play at that pace? Is he going to be able to... How much better than Jack Johnson would he really be? Quite a bit in some areas. But when it comes to that offensive stuff, I don't know that there would be an appreciable difference there.
And so much of their offense does run through their back end that... Yep. They need some of the puck moving there. If they start to stray from it, like you're saying, AJ, I think that would start to have an adverse effect. As much as I love Chris Tanev, I think he's going to make the Boston Bruins very happy.
Please be the Boston Bruins and not the Dallas Stars.
No, I know. I'm saying that the Dallas Stars. As some kind of wishful thinking. I do not want him anywhere near the Central.
Go East, please.
Yeah, go East.
No Dallas, no Winnipeg. Chris Tanev, I love you. Go away.
Yeah, he's having a fantastic year. But, you know, defensively, he's so reliable. Yep. And it's just not really what the Avs need unless something gets taken out of their decor.
Okay.
Noah Hanifin rules and would be an awesome Av. He would be extremely expensive to acquire.
Yeah, I just don't see how the Avs could realistically afford Hanifin.
And then he would walk in the offseason and you would be like, yeah. Eh.
And he'll also go to Boston then.
And he'll also go to Boston.
Or Florida.
I have an idea to make deadline day more crazy. Every GM has to be hooked up to a blood alcohol meter.
Nice.
And has to be at least 0.1. For the entire day. Okay.
Is this like speed? If it drops below,
they take the phones away. Yeah. You can't make any more trades.
All right. I guess that's better than the building blowing up, but I want some stakes in here. I want there to be a fear factor, not, oh no, they can't make a trade. 20 of those DMs are going to be like, all right, I'm good. Like, I would have loved to tinker with my AHL roster, but I'm good.
All I'm saying, if you're trying to make a trade in your fantasy league, maybe butter them up with some Coors Light. That's all I'm getting at. Have a little bit of a chill time with your Coors Light. Get your Blue Mountains on and enjoy your alcohol when you do. It's a fantastic beer, the best beer to chill and enjoy a hockey game or a hockey trade deadline with. So go check it out. Go get your Coors Light on. enjoy yourself when you do. And, you know, enjoy responsibly. Maybe don't make any trades if you're a GM of a team and you've had a few Coors Lights.
Don't do that.
It would be wildly entertaining, but some teams would make some bad decisions.
You remember, it was one of the best part of winter meetings in baseball. You knew that there were GMs getting drunk on some Coors and just firing off deals.
I'm here for it. Like, I think it would be peak entertainment, but boy, would some teams' fan bases end up super duper mad. Either way, whether you're an NHL GM or just enjoying a game on the couch, make sure you go get a Coors Light. Enjoy Coors responsibly. Golden, Colorado. Great time. Great place. And then, I don't know what Tiff's doing, but
it's fine. Just keep talking.
I'm talking about Bet365 and getting my Gamba on. I don't think that you can bet on the trade deadline just yet. But what you can do is go bet on Nathan MacKinnon for Hart.
And you should do that.
Saw a little chart coming into work today. Over the last five seasons, Nathan MacKinnon, the most productive player in the NHL at 5-on-5.
By quite a bit, right?
By a decent margin, yeah. More than guys like McDavid.
Power play merchant.
He's got to do it. If Nathan MacKinnon doesn't win the Hart this year, he's probably never going to win it. So now's a good time to go bet on it with Bet365. That's all I'm throwing out there. You can bet on whatever you want. When you sign up with code DNVR365 and you bet $5 on any NHL game, you get $150 in bonus bets. You can absolutely bet on whatever this soccer game is that's going on right now.
It's the FA Cup.
That means absolutely nothing to me.
Okay.
Go do it with Bet365. Of course, when you do bet with Bet365, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We're going to intermission our targets that the Avs are not going to get with AJ's top five real targets that the Avs should be going
after. I love that we've sandwiched. Yeah. They're real targets between guys that we're not going to talk about.
And we're not going to tell you which is which. You'll just have to guess.
That would have been the better approach to this.
Just list names.
Yeah, so top five targets for the Avs in my eyes. This is entirely my opinion, okay? You guys can call me dumb or whatever, but this is... Oh, that's what I should have done. Tiff would have been mad at me had I done that for the graphic. No, this is our top five of the week. So number five on this list, I've got Kevin Lankinen.
Sure.
Marc-Andre Fleury is no longer going to be a part of this conversation. That makes sense. Kevin Lankinen was a guy that I had mentioned earlier this year as a guy that I really liked as a backup, that NHL people really like as a backup. Maybe a little bit more someday. But Lankinen is a guy that pretty popular, and with Nashville... UC Saros.
Will they, won't they? Yeah,
UC Saros, but also Yaroslav Askarov is hanging out there. If they could move on from both of those goaltenders and rebuild that position around Askarov and get assets for both, and a lot of assets certainly for Saros, and a decent amount for Lankinen as well, that's a guy that, hey, if you want a solid backup behind Georgiev with a little more of an NHL track record than Eustace Annanen and Ivan Prosvetov right now, Lankinen could be it, and that's a guy that you would have interest in keeping for a while as well.
Do you just want the Avs to go out and get Barry Trotz players? Is that
No.
Okay.
Just Lankinen. Erica, any thoughts on Lankinen? I know he's a guy that's been around the league and is really well thought of there.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, he's a perfect guy. I mean, we talk about it every day. They need to surround Georgiev. Sure, he had a great game last night. Awesome. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm saying once you're in the pressure cooker of what's coming up, there's a big difference, and I do believe they need to surround him. Yeah, I like that name. I like him a lot. He's won a world championship before. Not that the world championship is a highly talented tournament, but for some guys like European guys, like Finn guys, Finnish guys, and Swedes, and, you know, it's important, that world championship is an important factor, and he did perform there. He did do it for his country, even though he's an American Hockey League player at the time. And but yeah, no, he's a perfect situation of what we've been talking about, which is to surround Georgiev the right way. And I'm not going to sway away from it that he needs help.
I'd be worried about trade price there because Nashville doesn't have to do this. So they're only going to do it if a team really makes it worth their while. I don't know that I want the Evs to, like, aggressively pursue a backup goaltender, which is kind of what leads us to our number four guy on this list. It's Jake Allen. Montreal's looking to move on from him. I like Lankanen as a goaltender better than I do Jake Allen, but Jake Allen's the veteran guy that we've talked about a lot already. We have a video coming out on him.
Probably tomorrow. You know, yeah.
Certainly the way that he has played is not something that inspires you. Yeah, it inspires you a ton, but it's a weird three goaltender situation in Montreal this year, and he comes to Colorado. The score is pretty clear. Hey, you're the backup unless something really goes wrong here. We just need you to be a shoulder for Georgiev to cry on so he stops doing it to the posts in the middle of the game. You know, like just a veteran thing, and yeah, we'll see. I think getting him out of Montreal will really
help.
It'll certainly put him in a better position to be successful, because I don't think that as long as Martin Saint-Louis is the coach of the Canadiens, I don't trust any defensive metrics that come out of that team, any goaltending metrics that come out of that team. I don't trust any of it. I think it all of it gives me pause of. When he gets into a much better environment, much more structured environment, I will have belief that a guy could look a lot better. Seeing the difference between Jonathan Drouin alone should give you some level of pause that this is a guy that was not a good defensive player. And that's not all on Martin Saint-Louis. Obviously, there's a player that has to play. But it makes me nervous. And with Jake Allen, there's a track record of him being a solid NHL goaltender. Those numbers aren't great right now in an environment that I don't think is doing him any favors. So this is he's signed through next year. There would have to be money retained. He's too expensive for a backup as is, which is, I assume, what that face was.
No, so we talked about it in the trade video, and the money, like 3.85, one more year, is not great. Just because it's more than Georgiev, it's close to Georgiev.
A lot of money.
It's more than Francois' money, which we would love to have Pavel Francois here instead. But what I was actually making that face for was 415 games played in the NHL. I really like that number. It's terrific experience that could really help Alexander Georgiev. That was what the face was actually for.
Let me ask you guys this. If the Avs do not get a goalie leading up to or during this trade deadline, would it be a disappointment?
What else do they do? Because in a vacuum, I'm tempted to say no.
Depending.
Yeah, because if they blow through their assets to go and get a really good defenseman and a really good forward, I'm good with that over getting a guy that may not play any playoff games for you.
Okay.
I've seen the conversation change in 24 hours around whether or not they need to pursue a goaltender, and I wouldn't be so quick to feel comfortable if they didn't.
Okay.
It does depend on what else they do and if that limits their ability to pursue a goaltender. But in looking at the games I just listed off for Jake Allen, you start to feel less confident with Justus Annunen and even Ivan Prozvitov, who has been torn between the leagues, the AHL and the NHL, for long enough now that he hasn't racked up that many NHL games himself. So the experience just really isn't there in their depth when you start going down the line that I wouldn't feel comfortable with it, even though I love Justus Annunen and Ivan Prozvitov's doing great in the American League right now. I still don't want them to rest on their laurels at that position.
I'm going to say I'd be really disappointed. For me, it's a crucial part of the deadline here coming up. It's arguably one of their most important part, and we keep talking about the second sentiment. Yeah, I put that aside. It's a crucial part. They're not ready to attack the postseason like this. I will be disappointed if nothing happens. I'm using Jake Allen for a second. You can't duplicate starts. You can't duplicate experience. He's been a number one. He's been struggling as a number one. He's been lost his job due to injury, due to poor play. A gentleman named Bennington took over, a no-name, a wild card, so to speak. And Jake Allen was a big part of the St. Louis Blues when they won the Cup a couple years ago, because he was that, what I'm talking about, that mentor. Forget about Fleury. Again, Fleury, it might happen again. Again, Ray Bourque said he was never coming to Colorado, ended up coming to Colorado. So we'll never say never on Fleury. They lose the next three games. Next thing you know, who knows? But I get it. He's a warrior. He wants to be in Minnesota. He wants to be with the guys and, you know, to see it through. But Fleury, Allen, Lankanen, because we talked about him a lesser extent because he doesn't have that experience. But when you have a guy with experience, the Jonathan Quick last year in Vegas, it's important. Jake Allen could come in here, not play a game, and be a crucial, crucial part of the Avs advancing far in the postseasons with the inexperience that they have in net. Georgiev's got, what, seven games? He never played with the Rangers, right? So he's got seven career games in the playoffs. Jake Allen, yeah, is he the goalie he was back then? No. Is he in a shitty environment in Montreal? Yes, it's a tough environment. It's a tough defensive system. So you can't compare his numbers this year to what he would bring to the Avs. He's bringing something here is a safety blanket, and that's what he's coming here for. Yes, there's a number attached to it. They can deal with that with the retaining later on, and then somebody will take Jake Allen next year. That's how he's a well-known, respected guy around the National Hockey League because of what he's been through. Somebody would take him, so they wouldn't be stuck with him. But I do believe that, to answer the question, I would be not disappointed. I would be extremely disappointed if nothing happens before next week in the crease.
It's a pretty wide range of feelings on how important a goaltender could potentially be.
I would lean towards that.
Depending,
If they seriously don't burn through a lot of assets to do other stuff as well.
Sure. Because just to get back to my point, too, is I don't know how to explain it, but I'm going to use different teams. Use the Toronto Maple Leafs and use the Edmonton Oilers as my prime example. Start of the season, people are like, question marks in the net, both places. They start, all of a sudden, they go sideways. Goaltending was atrocious in Edmonton. And then they go on a run of 20, 30 games. All of a sudden, your goaltending's fixed? I don't know. If it was that easy to answer, then everybody would win the Stanley Cup. So Samsonov and Berkey said it the other day. There's one Stanley Cup awarded each year. There's not 15. There's one. Samsonov, he can't stop a beach ball. He goes to the minors, and they do something different. They don't let him play in the minors. They just make him work on his game, and then he comes back, and then all of a sudden they go on a run, and then, Samsonov's cured. But then, last night he gets freaking killed, right? I'm assuming that was him that played last night. I'm thinking it was. So I'm just saying. So all of a sudden those warts are gone? So I don't know. So I'm going by the body of work of Georgiev. And again, I'll say it again. I'm a fan of Georgiev. Try to surround him. And even if Lankanen, Jake Allen, those guys come in and don't play one game, I think it will be unbelievably beneficial to have someone like that. And it will make the Avs win 1-2, whatever, maybe go all the way, which I do believe they come out of the West. But I think that's a crucial part for them to do.
Okay, let's stop talking about goalies. Please don't have a goalie in number three.
Number three. Guess what?
All right. All right.
It's Alexander Wennberg.
I'm so mid about this one.
Yeah, so this is... I have him on my list just because the skill plays.
Sure.
The skill and the hockey smarts would be a fit in Colorado. I have him three here because of the center preferences.
Mm-hmm.
He's fair. Not my favorite.
Yep.
He gets he can drift through games at times, which makes me a little bit nervous. And I don't totally trust that he can play playoff hockey for four rounds. For five, six games at a time, sure. And hey, that if that gets you through a round, great. But I need him in the next round.
Yep.
And where I think he's been really protected in Seattle is that Matty Beniers and Yanni Gourde can both play heavy defensive minutes, play hard matchups, and handle that. And he will kind of have to take on some of that role in Colorado. And I don't know that I trust that. But the skill is there. He's a skill guy, that product of his environment more than a lot of other guys in the league. You put him next to some good wings, you can get some good results. That would be a situation in Colorado.
I go back to the cup year and I look down the middle of the lineup for Colorado. It's not that all of these players are the most brutish, but they're strong in their skates and they're warriors. You know, Kadri, Compher, Helm, of course, McKinnon. Especially McKinnon in the playoffs. There was something about that version of him that was very difficult to play against. And that's my concern for Wennberg, is the durability. Like AJ's mentioning, the longevity of him in a playoff series. What does that look like come conference finals? And everything else about him, I think I was a little tough personally on him in our trade video that we did for him, because there are lots of reasons that he's pretty well-rounded compared to other options that are out there and wouldn't be a stylistic misfit in that sense. So I'm just not super high on him, but he really isn't a horrible option. Can get power play minutes as needed, can PK, though I don't know that that would necessarily be required of him with some of the defensive forwards that they have as options there. It's always nice for him to have that in the bag. Don't love him, don't hate him. I'm curious to see who 2-1 are.
For me with Wennberg, is there a 50-point player in there somewhere? Yeah, I think so. But for the Avs to get what they want out of him at 2C, they would have to get the absolute best version of him for the entire playoff run, basically.
Which contract year?
They could. I'm not saying they couldn't.
The situation, the team he's coming into.
But are you?
It's not inconceivable that you see the best Alexander Wennberg's ever given in his career, because then he goes and gets paid by somebody else.
It is not inconceivable, but you are setting yourself up for failure if that's the expectation that he has to meet.
Also, you know how many cups he's won?
I was waiting for that one.
Here we go. The chat doesn't even get that joke yet.
Nope.
Number two.
Scott Laughton.
I'm listening.
So, Scott Laughton, not great.
Tough to sell him as a 2C, that's for sure.
Yeah, tough to sell him as a 2C, for sure. This is a heart and soul guy. Will do absolutely everything for you. And if he can just not be an anchor on that line, playing next to Nichushkin and Lekkonen, or Nichushkin and Drouin, well, whatever the combination ends up being, whatever. If he could just not hold them back from being, like, playable.
Puck-eating monsters.
Yeah, and I have him ahead of Wennberg just because I am buying getting out of Philadelphia and getting into Colorado would really, really help him. I think the offensive stuff, I think, will always kind of be a hit or miss. It'll probably be more miss than hit with him, but people would love him. He is a heart and soul guy. He's a great character guy. He's beloved by everybody around them, including his coaching staff. And I just think that I'm buying the Colorado bump there, that
sure,
instead of getting a true 2C, you're kind of doubling up on 3Cs with him and Ross Colton. That's not the greatest approach, but $3 million for the next couple of years makes him a valuable asset on your roster. Not necessarily in that role.
Just for this year, yeah.
But in that, he would be in that role for this run, and then you would get into the summer.
Yeah.
You could make whatever you need to do in order to get, like, a real 2C that you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And move him around in your lineup. He's played a lot of...
three, becomes a four, a lot whatever of wing, it is, yeah.
A lot of center, whatever he needs to be, he can be. And he'll be a good player for you. Just a steady, reliable, tough guy.
Eric... you talked a lot about your career, having the opportunity to get shifts with guys like Joe Sakic, with guys like Peter Forsberg, with super high-end talents. Yeah. As someone who maybe isn't quite that level of talent, but understands how to play next to those guys. Yep. One, do you think Scott Laughton is that guy? And two, how difficult is that, particularly if Scott Laughton is going to play center, as being maybe an auxiliary piece to a Val Nichushkin?
Well, here's what I'll say about... sometimes it's a question of fit. And I went back to 2001 Avs, right? Is Danny Heinold a second-line player? He's not. I mean, he wasn't. Danny Heinold's a fourth-line player. What? Those last two rounds, play with Chris Drury on the second line, you know? So you need guys to have a fit for...
thank you.
Right now, it's for a short period of time because you got to break it down for 2 weeks at a time, right? Seven-game series, you know? Can he be helpful? So I'll go back to Laughton and Wennberg, because I didn't say anything on Wennberg. There's no metrics out there for use faceoffs, for example, if you're comparing the two. A guy might have like freaking 60% faceoff percentage that he wins, but when the big one comes, they can't do it. They can't win it. That makes sense.
The one that matters?
Yeah. The one that matters, though. So maybe Laughton has a 30% face-off percentage, but the one that matters, because you got to win this one, because if you ice the puck, you're on the PK, and there's only 12 seconds left, and you're up 3-2, and you're going to win the Stanley Cup. Guys can live for the moment. Some guys can't. So here's the difference between Wennberg and Laughton. For me, looks like Laughton, and there's no metrics for that, and I love numbers. Lawton's a guy that lives for the moment for me because he's the heart and soul, where Wennberg for me would crumble. That's just my opinion, fair or unfair. That's the difference. And that's where Scott Laughton becomes interesting and becomes a guy I would like to go after if I'm the Avalanche. If you can find something that works, as we talked about, the Lindholm, Monahan, Henrik, and whoever is going to be. At the end of the day, there's got to be someone out there too. And you need a partner to dance with. But I like what a guy like that would bring to Nichushkin and you know, whoever he would play with, because I think you win with guys like that. And I think guys like that love the pressure. And you find out a lot about guys in that spring coming up, because some guys can't elevate their game and some guys can. And I think this is a guy that can and that would. But then again, it's so hard to measure. You know what I mean? And I think it's more like the heart and soul, like AJ just said, because that's what overtakes everything else, you know?
I also think when the majority of the pros for a player are things like he works really hard and you love him in the locker room and intangibles, you should be talking about a guy that is more like an Andrew Cogliano role on your team and not a guy that 2C, you're dropping in, yeah, and saying we're going to make him our second line center. Because if we had a lot of really good on-ice things to say about him, we'd be saying them. But his play has been in pretty steady decline, albeit in a tough situation in Philadelphia, where they're very much in transition. Sean Couturier, Morgan Frost, you know, where exactly is he playing in that lineup is a fair question.
And despite being anchored to Philly's fourth line at points this year, he has more points than Alex Wennberg. And he's been on their second unit, big PK guy, so could absolutely be of value there. Good speed, so the stylistic fit is there. And you mentioned the two more years at $3 million. That is just enough time for Ross Colton to grow up and become the new Avs 2C. I think that there is some value in him being a potential fit pass this year that I could be talked into. It's just a matter of whether or not Philly actually does want to move on from him, because mm-hmm. I think his value in their eyes has increased because of the cultural value that he brings to the room, because he's such a good guy, such a good player. I don't know that they're going to part with him so easily. And I think he's drawn some intrigue because of coming off a career year individually in terms of points and then being able to produce at the clip he has this year has kind of come as a surprise to people. I don't know how sustainable it is, but I think in Colorado, you talk about the Colorado bump. I think that would be a real thing for him here.
Teams, the last thing I'll say on him, teams have been after him for years. Philly was never, again, different management too before Danny and Jonesy, and teams have been after him for years. It was never the right time for them to move on from him for whatever the reasons. But I do believe that now they will move on from him just because of Torch's comments the last month or so. I think he's specifically talking about him, that it's going to hurt the Philly fans, that, you know, they have to make moves that are better for the future of their franchise. And, you know, I do believe they're moving on from him, and it'd be great for the Avs to be a part of this.
Okay, but why do that when you can go get AJ's number one guy?
I mean, there's no surprise with who this is going to be. It's Adam Henrique.
The best center realistically available on
the
market.
He is the best center that's left on the market, and I know that there are a lot of people that think that we are pushing Adam Henrique propaganda onto them by talking about Henrique like he's a good quality player, but I'm sorry, he's a quality player. If you were to rank second-line centers, if the Avs were to trade for him, make him their second-line center, and you were to stack up all 16 playoff teams and rank second-line centers, would Adam Henrique fare very well in that? No, he wouldn't.
But it's what's out there.
But he's so much better than what Ryan Johansson does, and he fits your team so much better that this is in kind of like a in the way that Scott Laughton would fit the team.
Yep.
You're not really relying on some magical Colorado bump there. You're just saying, just be exactly who you've been. His metrics continue to be good. You continue to see him doing well in Anaheim, playing a system under Greg Cronin that he would be familiar with in Colorado. The adjustment wouldn't be as big as with some of the other guys.
And he wouldn't have to play with bums anymore.
And exactly. He's gonna be rolling on in, and he's fine. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's a world beater or that he's the key to a Stanley Cup, but he raises your floor so much. In my opinion, he is the guy that raises your floor the most. Out of any of these other guys available at this trade deadline, he's the one that helps your team out in the immediate the most. He fills your biggest need, and he's the best guy that realistically is probably getting moved at this deadline.
That makes too much sense. Yeah.
Exactly. And he's just not, he's not incredible. He's not going to knock your socks off. He's not. But he checks all the boxes for you in terms of his skating won't be a major problem. He wins faceoffs for you, and he plays with he plays with talented players, and he plays on the PK. He does a little bit of everything. You go and get him, and it lessens the need to go and get a really good 4C. Instead of just, you can get a decent one. You don't have to go and get Nick Dowd because you went and got Adam Henrique. Now, if you go and get both of them, maybe you've gotten a little crazy or the prices are really cratering. Henrique is just the best guy that's available there, and I really don't understand the continued disdain from Avalanche fans. He's not Elias Lindholm. No, he's not. He's not Sean Monahan, who would have been a bad fit in Colorado. No, he's not that guy. But he's solid.
Don't have much to add. I think you nailed it for the most part.
I'll keep it short because we have some misfits. We have some other I like Henrique. You know, during the Ryan O'Reilly year of the deadline last year, I was on the Henrique train. Like, that's the name that has continued to interest me. And it's that simple. He's a goal scorer.
And it's the Colorado Avalanche, right? You often see them go circle back to guys who they had been linked to in the past. So Henrique even checks that box for them.
Should have just listened to me last year and traded for him then.
I'll make one point about it. I think Ruto talks about it all the time. You have Nate MacKinnon in a Hart Trophy season right there. I think you owe it to your star player to go get a little bit of depth and go get a guy underneath him where it takes away a little bit of the pressure. Not that he doesn't like the pressure, I'm saying, but it does take away a little bit of the pressure. I think you owe it to your star player and the rest of your team because of where your core is in their careers, and you owe it to yourself to go do something like that.
All right. That was our Bet365 Never Ordinary Top 5 of guys you actually might want the Avs to target come the trade deadline. You may also want to target Fubo TV for yourself so you can actually watch the Avs down the stretch run of the regular season here. You can get your Avs, you can get your Nuggets at FuboTV.com/DNVR where you can get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Fubo comes with, obviously, the Colorado sports, but 140 live channels, including shows, news, movies, music, much, much more, too. When you do get Fubo Pro, you get 1,000 hours of DVR on top of all that. And if you want to try it out, you can do a free trial. You don't have to pay anything for that up front, so you can test it out, see if it's something you like. You can cancel at any time once you do get it, so you don't have to worry about that. It's just an awesome product and a great way to get your Colorado sports. Go check them out at FuboTV.com/DNVR today. And if you're looking to save a little bit of money, check out American Financing, who saves, on average, $854 a month for their customers. That adds up to over $10,000 a year, which they do by eliminating high-interest credit card debt. They do that with mortgage rates that are currently in the fives, so they're starting to be a realistic option once again. They've been very high for a long time. Now, they're nice and low, and they may be able to get you your loan in as little as 10 days. So call American Financing today, and you may be able to even delay your next two mortgage payments when you do call them at 303-695-7000. Let them know DNVR sent you at 303-695-7000 or go to AmericanFinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates of the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 303-695-7000 for details about credit, costs, and terms. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Some other guys that I've heard a lot of people talk about that are not really going to happen for Colorado trade targets. The number one name I've heard the most that I just don't think is reality, Boone Jenner.
Oh, God.
A lot of people have thrown Boone Jenner's name around. They've actively said they're not trading him, so, which...
GMs and do say I guess that, they don't have a GM, but
that's true.
President of hockey operations say things, so
they do say things.
It's just more. It has never really made a lot of sense. One, because Boone Jenner is nowhere near as good as Avalanche fans have been trying to pretend for 2 years now, and two, he's more valuable to Columbus than he is in a deal. They're not going to get enough in a trade. Bless you. They're not going to get enough in a trade to make it worth their while to move out their captain and a guy whom they love internally and culturally. They want to try to take a guy like an Adam Fantilli under his wing and teach him, like, here's how you be a pro. Here's how you be a Columbus Blue Jacket. He's just more valuable to them than he is in a deal.
As is often the case with guys who wear the C.
And guys who play up in lineups on bad teams.
Yep.
Frequently the case.
Yeah, he's their first line center for 3.75 mil for two more years. I don't think they want to move that kind of affordability.
Yep.
Their captain. And in losing a big offensive weapon in line A to points this year,
yeah.
I think they would really find it impossible to move on from a key part of their group when they're already missing one.
It's the extra years that's really... If Jenner was an expiring UFA, if he had made overtures to saying, I don't really want to come back to Columbus, this is a very different conversation. But the fact that he's locked up for a couple more years, why would Columbus do it, I guess, is my question.
It's kind of the position that the Flyers were in the last couple of years with Scott Laughton.
Yep.
Why do this? He's cost effective, and he's a guy that we love. He's a great cultural guy, and we want guys to see that this is how to be every day. Why do that? The only reason we talk about it with Laughton and the Flyers now is they are entering a different phase for their organization. And it's still a fair question as to whether or not that guy gets moved. With Boone Jenner, it just doesn't – it makes no sense.
The other category of player that I see a lot of different Avs fans mentioning, and I would throw both Alex Kerfoot and Trevor Zegras into this sect of players. They're not actually centers.
Yeah. The Trevor Zegras getting healthy again. It's starting to skate a little bit. It's kicked back up that interest. We did an entire pod talking about why he's not a fit.
Yep.
He doesn't play center. I know Eric has other thoughts about how he plays the game, but before we even get into that, he doesn't play center.
Yeah, but are we getting into that?
Yeah, go for it. Have at it, buddy.
I don't know the person. I'm just looking at the player. This is hockey. This is the National Hockey League. It's not golf. It's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. Is he skilled? Is he, you know, dynamic? Is he fun to watch? It's awesome to see in a skills comp. It's great. But when it came down to playing hockey, which is this year with our good friend Cronin coming in and bringing, you know, a system to the team that this is how you need to play in order to be successful as a team in the National Hockey League, he couldn't do it. It's a short sample. He got hurt. But all I'm saying is he couldn't do it. And there's a reason he couldn't do it, because he's never done it. And some guys adapt to it quicker. Some guys, and this is where we talk about Euros all the time, like Finns and Swedes, and they come over, they know how to play hockey already. It's crazy, you know, because their development system's so different overseas. And we're here, it's more the flashy style. And I just don't think I've seen it. Now, can he do it? I don't know. But I've never seen him do it. And it's been a struggle for him to do. And that's why he was in the doghouse in Anaheim. And the injuries were there. But I'm going this spring to go win a Stanley Cup with a favorite team like the Avalanche and a championship pedigree. This is not my guy. Not even close. This is not a guy on my list.
It's because of who Zegras is right now, too, that makes him such a misfit. I'll play devil's advocate to start. Like, I see why people would have some interest in this player. He thrives in transition. He's an extremely talented puck handler. But then beyond that, the other parts of his game that are so important is where it's a total misfit. The defensive play in his own end leaves so much to be desired. When he isn't retrieving pucks and moving them up ice, he's not going to be very useful to the Avs. And this is something that, had he not been injured and had he not missed training camp because of contract negotiations, I think attributes to the slow start that he's had this year specifically, but it also lessened his time under Cronin's tutelage, where Cronin has talked about teaching him those defensive aspects of the game from scratch, which is concerning. And that was interrupted, one, because he didn't get the systems work that they start in training camp with Cronin, and he's been injured. And so not having that valuable time to learn those things under Cronin is why I would not trust him in the Avs system. If he had been under Cronin's care for a little bit longer, I'd be intrigued, but it's still the issue of whether or not he can play down the middle in Colorado is also the biggest part in all of that too. Extremely talented player. Based on what we've heard about players like McKinnon having a say in what types of players get brought to Colorado, this does not seem like a player that they would be banging the drum for either. It's not to say that he isn't receptive or a bad teammate. I just don't think he would have those qualities that the McKinnons of the world want in the locker room.
He has not been super well received by the NHL player base.
In general,
I would also say, to build on Megan's point, the guy, the skill is always enticing. And, you know, with the way that the Avs play sometimes, it's easy to think, that's great. That would be a fit. But, you know, highlight reels don't usually show a guy that blows a coverage in the neutral zone. Yeah. And that's what ends up giving up an odd man rush the other way, because he's messing around, not taking it seriously. And you, as Megan said, you just can't, you're not taking that chance on a guy like that.
And two really good points you're making here. One, Trevor Zegras' pluses, getting pucks going up the ice. Guess what? The Avs have a whole decor that does that really well for them. And look at where Zegras would be playing as a center in Colorado. In between probably Val Nichushkin and Arturi Lehkonen. Maybe it's Jonathan Drouin, whatever. You're looking at that second line as a line that you want to take tough defensive matchups. You want to put a Val Nichushkin against some of the top guys on that other team.
Yeah, you're not trying to use it to protect a guy that can't play.
Exactly. I would have more interest in it if the Avs had a wing spot open and they say, look, we're going to try him at center. If it doesn't work, we can move him to this wing spot. But they don't have a wing spot open at all.
I also think it's very telling about what his current organization thinks of him at the position that they've drafted Mason McTavish, Leo Carlson, and traded for Cutter Gauthier.
Yeah.
And I was just going to add, go back to his contract negotiations last summer. Tells you everything about it. Everybody in this league, after their entry level, when it's all on projections, everybody's getting those. Everybody. A lot of people are getting those 8-year deals and locked up, and a lot of guys in Anaheim got that, and he certainly didn't. And that's why there was kind of a holdout, and that's why it just tells you right there what they think of him. Not hard to figure out.
Yeah, we are running a little bit over time. Is there anyone else you guys want to touch on as not targets for the Avs?
You could speed run it really quick and just say UC Saros, sure. Jacob Markstrom.
Expensive goaltenders.
Yeah. Tough to see that happening right now.
But unfortunately now, Andre Fleury. Fleury, like you mentioned.
Saying he's not coming.
I mean, if you look at the jerseys falling everywhere in the standings, and Tyler Toffoli's going to go somewhere. He's got two cups. I don't think he's a Avs fit, you know.
Yeah. But
you're talking about experience. You can't teach that. I would take a stab at him, just not with this roster.
When Tyler Toffoli ends up in Vegas, I'm going to punch the wall.
It's going to happen. So, somewhere.
Tyler Toffoli and Jake Guentzel in Vegas.
No.
Using the LTIR. I'm going to punch a wall.
It is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay.
I'm already mad.
We do have two super chats from Daniel here. It looks like he says on his second try, which are those check bucks?
I hope that's what they call them.
Check bucks. Check bucks. second try, getting a goalie backup, second line center, fourth line center, and another defenseman would mean saying goodbye to which prospects, guys? You rock DNVR crew. If you're doing all of that, the cupboards are empty, bud.
Yep.
You're getting rid of everything.
You're probably not keeping much. Yeah. You're like, Bulyalski and Taylor McCarr, come on down.
Oof. If you're doing all of that, realistically, your first this year is definitely gone. You're probably losing one of your first round picks from last year at least. You're probably losing Sean Behrens.
Yeah.
You might.
You're going to catch them hands.
Yeah. Look, I didn't just outright say Cal Ritchie. They could lose Guliev too,
I
and
know,
then I'll be
I
mad.
Know, which is insane. It's like Guliev and Behrens, if we lived in some world where they did that.
Sam Malinsky better be the truth if they do that.
Sam Malinsky's power is
too strong.
Yeah,
I'd be a little bit happy. Like, this is just paving the way for Sam Malinsky magic, but also a little silly.
Yeah. Any pick of any value is probably gone.
You already aren't working with much.
Yeah.
I don't think Olausson's, especially now that he's had a season-ending surgery, is attracting much appeal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Foodie also has missed so much time. I don't think his name holds the same value it did last deadline.
Yep.
And we don't know what to make of Ben Myers and what the Avs plan to do with him, but I don't know that that alone will fetch a huge return.
Yeah, that's probably not a ton of value.
Ben Myers feels like the most predictable either throw-in or AHL trade.
Which the Avs have been pretty successful with historically.
Change of scenery guy for change of scenery guy. Feels very predictable to me.
They better do that responsibly. Like, he was once the most highly coveted college free agent. Don't.
And for my money, he should be in the NHL.
Yeah, don't lose that for nothing.
Yep.
That's why he's not. It might be why he's not in the NHL, because one more of those games.
And they're not getting him.
Yeah, and
waivers.
Yeah, he would lose the waiver exempt status and.
Is what it is. Something that the Avs have done in the past, certainly. That's all we got for today. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us. Obviously, we'll be back tomorrow for the game. Then we're off Friday and back for Saturday's game. So keep it tuned in here. Even if we're not doing podcasts every single day from here on out leading up to the deadline, we will be dropping deadline target videos that goes more in depth on guys like Henrique, on guys like Wennberg. So check out those as they drop on the YouTube. We'll also tweet them out. Go look at them. Go see what we have to think about some of the targets out there. We appreciate y'all. Go do this also. Last day, 30% off almost the entire locker. Applies automatically at checkout. If you're going to get a shirt, now's the time to do it. It probably will be a very long time before our next sale. So go do that. You can get a Tornado. You can get the champ shirt that Megan is wearing. We appreciate you guys, and we will talk to you on the next one. We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.